Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time to gather around the table, South County Outreach, where we take you on a journey deep into the heart of our organization's mission to combat poverty, uplift our community. With the man, he's taken us there before. Let's see where we go today. Laval Brewer, welcome, sir.
Paul, how are you doing today, man?
I always look forward to these conversations. The two topics in everybody's mind are hunger and homelessness these days, and you don't just tackle one, you tackle two at the same time here.
We can chew gum and walk at the same time.
It is amazing.
We've been trying.
And you have two guests. Normally you have one guest. You have two guests today, so see if they can share one mic here.
We'll make it work.
Okay.
We couldn't do without the two of them. The two of them together tell the full story.
I guess so. All right. We're going to hear the story here today. Just keep leaning into that microphone so we can not miss any of it here.
You got it. Hey, welcome to Around the Table with South County Outreach, where we take you on a journey deep into the heart of our organization's mission to combat poverty and uplift our community. As Paul said, I'm Laval Brewer, and this is the podcast not just about showcasing our work. It's about inviting you, our listeners, to join us in our mission. By offering a sneak peek into the values that shape poverty prevention and our poverty prevention efforts. I'm going to tie it up on that. I don't know why. That's what we're talking about. We hope to inspire you to become more involved in creating positive change in our community. So today, I'm so excited. Because this is something that really brings a lot of joy to our organization. And we're going to be talking with Lolly Luna, who is our volunteer manager today, who is responsible for bringing College Corps to South County Outreach. Yeah. And we've got Jenny Sheik, who is with Concordia. And it is because of Concordia that we actually have this program. So let me tell you what happened.
I actually didn't live here. I was getting married in the state of Ohio when all of this was going down.
Yeah. So we got this newsletter from Concordia to the office.
Okay.
And my assistant gave it to me to read. She didn't throw it away. Not that we just throw away things that come. But in it, I was flipping through and I saw this thing about College Corps. And I was like, is that AmeriCorps? But College Corps? Oh, what is this? Nice. And then I quickly realized that it wasn't my responsibility. Walked into Lolly's office and handed her the newsletter and said, this, find out. Can you please? And next thing I know, she is on it. And away we go solving hunger in South County Outreach that was in a so needed way. I cannot tell you how important this program is to us.
Right.
And how important the partnership is. Lolly?
Yes. We love the fellows.
Yeah, the fellows. Like, why don't you tell us about the fellows? First of all, who are the fellows?
Sure. Our fellows come from a variety of backgrounds. We don't have all of the data yet because this year hasn't actually wrapped up, but about 55 to 60% of the fellows serving at Concordia University Irvine are first gen. Every single one of our 55 fellows this year, 67 next year, which is great news for everyone.
Right.
Every single one of them needs some form of financial support to attend a university. So it's a wonderful problem for those who didn't know is that it's being solved. Debt crisis for students who want to attend a university and solving challenges in our communities all at the same time.
Yeah. So these students, I know this really well, but I know we're doing the
class. Please do, yes, please.
I go back and forth. So these are students who have identified that they want to be a part of this program. They have some hours they're going to serve in their community. They serve in their community around food, around education, around climate.
That's correct.
Okay. And then in return for their volunteerism and their for engagement, they get a stipend.
Yes. So throughout the year, they get $7,000 in biweekly payments. We've just been working on speaking with our fellows about this. So in the end of the year, they total $7,000 for the cost of living expenses. And if they hit their 450 hours over the entire academic year, then they receive a $3,000 education award at the end as a bonus. So it works out well for the government who's sponsoring it as a check and balance system to make sure it actually happens and for our communities as well.
Yeah. And I know that these kids are not kids. These students are all over Orange County serving all kinds of nonprofits like ours. Let's jump into why, not just because College Corps, but why this is the example for us. Lolly, when you think about how we went through the pandemic, where before the pandemic, we had a significant number of volunteers who were of a, let's say, a little older age, and almost no volunteers on a regular basis in the pantry or in the organization that were of a younger age, you know, let's say under 25. Very low numbers except for the summer. How has that demographic shift changed the way that we do our work and how we support the community?
And definitely during COVID, there was a very vulnerable population that was the majority of our volunteer force. And so given the hours that were actually available to serve the community, it is during normal 8-to-5 jobs. So most of our volunteers are retired or stay-at-home parents that have the time. And so it's really difficult to get a younger audience like college students to come in and participate. So College Corps really helped fill in that gap where, of course, they're benefiting from learning within the community and being able to serve while they're still going to school. And also just connecting with the older population that we have in welcoming just a new perspective, right? A lot of the volunteers that we did have had been volunteering for over 10 years. So having a new fresh perspective with the college students was a nice merge.
Yeah, so Jenny, I know you know this because you've seen it. This side-by-side support from a younger generation and then from a more retired or senior generation. What have your kids said about the times that they've been with our more seasoned or older population? What has that been like for them?
First of all, I think that people have a misnomer, a misunderstanding. Our college students really are seeking wisdom from people who have more life experience. Now, maybe they can't articulate it that way, but that's what they are looking for. So they have spoken so highly of the other volunteers. They come in and they say they know what they're doing, so they were able to train me. They were able to help me figure out what's a FAFSA form, what's a credit score. My significant other, I'm having trouble with conflict with my roommate. How do I navigate all of the big life challenges? So that's been a bonus and aside for them to build those relationships with additional adults who have wisdom in life. So they've been very gracious. And they've said that then they've been able to, in turn, I help them figure out how to do Facebook. Or I speak two languages, so I can help. But I showed them how to get pictures of their grandkids, and that was really exciting for them. So I think that it's a relationship that goes both ways that wasn't perhaps intentional in design, but it's been a wonderful benefit.
Yeah. So let's go a little deeper in partnerships here. And you're one example of the many partnerships we have. And I'm going to bring up one that we're going to actually be talking about soon. Do you have kids at Bracken's Kitchen?
We don't. It's a relationship we're exploring. Ooh. Maybe in the future, hopefully.
Exciting. Okay, yes. Yeah. South County Outreach, Lolly knows this really well, and Jen, you probably picked this up. We're really big on not carrying our own water.
Yes.
Because we just know that we are not the solution for everything. We have to engage other organizations in order for us to do this work well. And in the people part of the food pantry and poverty prevention, when you don't have enough people who are able to lean into the community and in some cases reflect the look of the community, it makes it harder for us to do our work. Mm-hmm. The partnership for us, and I'd love to hear what the benefit is from Concordia, the partnership for us is really around who else can help us do this work. Mm-hmm. What are the skills they could bring to the table to do that? You shared some that were not even close to what we really need, but we love it, is a vibrant young group of people, old group of people who can lift heavy boxes and get things on the shelf, but also just have this personal relationship with our clients. So we get a lot out of that. Lolly, we're going to talk about this in a second, but when you think about what the relationship of College Corps and South County Outreach, what does that bring to Concordia and the other universities that are in this partnership?
That's a great question. I think what Concordia University has been trying to do and has been doing successfully, this is just a deeper level for years, they have wanted to bridge the gap and actually form these kinds of partnerships because they understand that we are stronger together. There's an old saying that says two are better than one, but a strand of three cords is not easily broken. Mm-hmm. And so when we are partnered together, we're actually able to each use our own gifts. We at Concordia might have some that others are lacking, but we're missing a lot too. So when we stand together, we can actually bear the entire burden together instead of trying to do just one part. Don't get me wrong, the just one part is wonderful as well, but we are able to provide opportunities for our students to learn and grow, for them to understand that this problem exists in deep ways, number one, so that when they graduate, they can, wherever they are planted, they can connect and continue this process long after their time here at Concordia is done as well.
Yeah, so it's a great partnership for community. Yeah. So Lolly, the reason why I said I'm going back to you, because we have other community partners that you are responsible for stewarding in the pantry and in our skills-based volunteers. Name off a few that make it possible for us to do our work well.
So as you mentioned, aside from Concordia, we also partner with Irvine Valley College. So they're also giving us a good amount of fellows, and recently with UCI as well. So we actually host a couple of College Corps fellows from there, as well as nursing students in certain programs. So the University of San Francisco, we have a Corps referral program. So we're allowed to just reintroduce people to serve in the community at a different capacity. And that's just a little bit of some of the partnerships.
Let's go a little deeper in that USF, University of San Francisco one. Tell our listeners more about why the nursing students are volunteering once a week at the pantry.
So I think it's a nice way for them to engage with the community members, a different setting, getting to know the different type of population that we serve. Also just sharing the stigma around who even needs food services, right? Part of onboarding our volunteers is educating them on the awareness of who needs food before it used to be maybe homeless population or maybe unemployed individuals. But nowadays we see that very less, like less than 2% of the population we serve is that currently unhoused. And I want to say maybe over 70% of our clients do have college degrees. They're just simply not making enough, right? So changing that mindset. And so the nursing students are really getting to see that and see that in the communities to better help them when they become nurses.
Yeah. So we have 5 partnerships with colleges pretty much that
yes.
are coming in. That's incredible. It is such a benefit to our community. So when I think about what the USF nurses do and what they're learning around community health in that myth that we have for Orange County of there are no poor people here. We also have that myth in Orange County where our partners help us deal with this is there are no homeless families. And you just don't see homeless families as much because they're hidden. So I know that's not about partnerships, but just for the nurses to be able to have a clear understanding of what poverty looks like, and it's not what people think it is a benefit not only to us, because those nurses are going to serve around across the country. And they're going to make a huge difference in our community by helping those who need us the most and need the services the most to have a clear understanding of what this looks like and not a biased understanding. So really appreciate having them do this work. Let's keep going in the volunteer line here. You know, Jane, when you think about the future of your engagement with, if you've thought about this, if you haven't, then just say I haven't. But if you think about the partnership that we have with the college, what other things might organizations like ours think about partnering with a college for so that we can solve either societal problems or increase the knowledge of the students? What comes to mind?
I think a couple things. First, just to piggyback off what you all were saying, I think one of the biggest surprises our college students had when they were serving was there are college students who are coming who need assistance. That was eye-opening for them. And their comment was they're not trying to rip off a system. They need help. Mm-hmm. And to see someone who is exactly like me, changing that stigma, I think, will also allow for some of them to get help. I would love, again, in my dream world, I would really love for there to be some of those integrations, even if it's just a one-off for our freshman seminar classes, to have some of our different host partners come in. And please know, I have not asked Concordia University. This is just in Jenny's dream world, because I think they have freshman seminar classes they're required to attend, but having some of our partners from the area start this conversation so they can be thinking about it, so when they experience it, they have that first step in. And it takes away some of the shame, or when they're encountering others who are in the situation. Instead, as you were saying, it's eliminating some of those unconscious and conscious biases. Second, I know it goes back to an old model of high school student serving. I would love to see more community service required. And I think that there are some different clubs and organizations on campus, as well the athletes and musicians, are doing a wonderful job. They go and they serve together as a team. Concordia does host an entire day of service, and so I think that's a phenomenal first step that not all universities have the ability to cancel classes for a day and have that opportunity. But those are just small steps forward. But anything we can do to build those bridges, because then our students see how their gifts can be used, and maybe it's they didn't realize they have the gift of building, and they can build something at a nonprofit partner who needs the help. And they can receive an education on how to connect with different people, as we were saying, some of the older volunteers that have a lot of life wisdom at the same time to share. So it just continues to strengthen our community. So when there are challenges, we already have that foundational relationship built so we can go forward together.
Yeah, that's just a clear example of where if organizations like ours and universities and colleges and businesses continue to partner together to solve some of our societal problems together, it'll be easier to get there.
Yeah.
Do you all have a food pantry on campus?
We used to, and they're in the process of rebuilding it. It's one of the things that's in our wellness center does a tremendous job with taking care of the physical and mental health, but we've actually been referring to South County. So that's been and I come from a model of, again, it's important to have it on campus for those who don't have vehicle access. And that's been one of our students' biggest challenges. But when someone does something well, you shouldn't rebuild the system. Instead, you should use their partnership and expertise, because again, then that's their expertise. Why are you trying to do something that you're not an expert in?
Yeah, that's an example of where we work with the Public Law Center. Mm-hmm. And the Public Law Center, we're not going to bring attorneys on and have attorneys work at the organization to help with, you know, those who are legitimately, and I know this is a bias, some people say they're trying to rip off the system. Like, there are some landlords who are not fair and don't follow fair practices, and the Public Law Center helps to mitigate that and help with that. I love that you're here. I love that what we did with what we're doing, and then we continue to do this work, and that we've expanded the opportunity for as many kids as possible in Orange County to do that. So, hey, we're going to go to the speed round here. We're going to get to the questions here. We're going to ask both of you these questions. So normally it's just one. We're going to start with you, Lolly, first, and then Jane, you're going to follow up, and then we're going to go back to you and then go back. So we're going to zigzag back down this road, okay? We end all of our things with these three closing questions. First question. Who influences you?
I would say the women in my family, women in leadership as well, just because I don't see it as often. Getting to learn from men, it definitely pushes me and motivates me.
Awesome. Yeah. The women in my life have made me good too. I appreciate that. I'm with you that. Jean, what about you?
I would say my family as well. But then also when I was 18, I had a great first job and a boss who taught me it's always important to have a circle around you who is not your family, who can mentor you. And so those six or seven people in my life are the ones that they're the ones I call.
All right. I'd love to ask you who they are, but we're not gonna put them on the spot right now. There's six of them, and I'm sure they're all beautiful, wonderful people. And we wouldn't want anyone to be left out, or the seventh person to be like, but
right.
me.
What? I thought I was on your list.
I know.
All right, so Jim, back to you. Favorite, because we're a food pantry, favorite food growing up in the childhood. What was your favorite food?
Grilled cheese and tomato soup, hands down.
Yes, that is
solid.
Do you still like it?
Yes, and the tomato soup is the dipping sauce for the grilled cheese. Let's be clear about
so
that.
Right. Yeah, we got some Campbell's soup on our shelves too. What about you?
We do, close cell. It's actually albóndiga, so meatball soup.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, it has like potatoes, zucchinis in it, and you're supposed to use an egg, but my mom does not. She does it all in just faith in the pot.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Favorite food then and now, or just favorite food then?
Then and now.
Okay, cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have to try that out. I haven't had that yet. Okay, and then Lolly, for you, who would you like to sit around the table and talk to? And this could be anybody. It doesn't have to be someone obvious.
Have my list.
Oh, cool. All right, let's do this.
It would be a comedian. I'm picking Adam Sandler, Vince Vaughn, Seth Rogen, because if I'm going to have dinner at a table, I need a good laugh.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. I that's a good one.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah, don't let that, don't, she
just
might,
don't check on
might
your food.
I can't steal that. So
of course you can.
So I was thinking about this. I think my great grandmother, who has passed away, she had a really interesting childhood in Milwaukee in the days of Al Capone. And as the story goes, she had one of Al Capone's favorite dogs because some family member was playing poker and he lost it and then came looking for the dog. So she has crazy stories. So I just, you look back and you're like, I want more stories. And they were true.
Yeah, let's close the loop on that story. Yeah.
That's Al Capone.
Yeah. And this nice, sweet church-going girl, and then she's got Al Capone's dog. Again, you can't make this up if you tried. The story is true. I've seen pictures of the dogs.
I'm good with that. Those are great, three great answers. I love those. I can't wait to hear what the other guests have. Hey, thanks for joining us today, Jenny and Lolly. You guys are a blessing to us and make the community a better place. Really appreciate you both.
Thanks for the partnership, and thanks for hosting us today.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. That's it for today at Around the Table with South County Outreach. We hope you will join us next time, where we will be joining to talk about the wonderful things that are happening in our community and how we go about serving. Look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast, Around the Table.
Wow, there you have it. Another reason to join us again and again as we gather around the table and continue to talk about creative and effective ways to combat hunger and homelessness right here in our own community. Brought to you by South County Outreach and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.